Now this is just going to get real interesting. It's the news, according to me. Yeah, it's Monday morning, 7:53 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am in my home studio this morning. The last time you will hear from me from the home studio, probably for a while. I will be on the road, theoretically, if everything goes well. We last night went to bed. It was about 40 degrees outside, 45 degrees, something like that. Today it is 16 degrees this morning, and there's snow on the ground. My weather app says it feels like -6 outside because of the wind. Glad I'm going south. We're going south for a while, for at least a week. My wife's going to be down here for a couple weeks. I've got to do it one particular job assignment for 4 days in the middle of all that. Basically, we're going to be down there for two weeks. Taking the old motor home down there and going to try to take a little break. Take the puppies with us. Cat. Yeah, all going down. Like Jed Clampett all the way down there. We have, trying to get away from some of this this craziness. We have, it's a lot going on there. Yesterday, there were thunderstorms rolling through everywhere. I was trying to get back from Miami to Chicago, and it was a mess. Got on an airplane that apparently they had some kind of mechanical. I try to get a window seat. I don't care how far back it is. I just get a window seat as far back as wherever I can. And I got a window seat. I just put myself in there. I board early. I get in there, put my stuff away, put my earphones in, put my seatbelt on, and I ignore everything around me. I'll get there when I get there. One time I did that. I got on board and couldn't really hear anything. Of course, here's the dog. Couldn't really hear anything. And then all of a sudden, I could hear some announcements, and I was listening to something on YouTube or something, whatever I was listening to sharpen my knowledge for you, my faithful listeners, as I share my opinion of all these things. I'm sure I was listening to something very important. And it was, I ended up noticing that everybody was getting off the airplane. And I thought, I apparently missed something. Of course, the airplane was, they had discovered a hydraulic leak of some kind, and everybody was deplaning. It was kind of a weird deal. But I just got off the plane with everybody else. I just assumed we're all getting off. So that's how that works. Anyway, so yesterday, I knew we weren't going to get there in time sooner than, and of course, I thought I was going to get an aisle by myself, and I didn't. There's a couple guys that came in and sat down next to me, and the one guy was in the middle row. Of course, I always feel bad for those people, but he wasn't the kind of middle row seater I feel bad for, because he was kind of annoying. He kind of took up the whole row, just the way he acted. He was trying to be. I guess he was trying to be respectful, but I just kind of sat there and acted like I was asleep, listening to my YouTube stuff. So anyway, we got to Chicago in the middle of a bunch of thunderstorms. Of course, it got really bumpy. One thing I really get nervous about is when the pilots call from the front and say, flight attendants be seated, and the flight attendants don't sit down. There was a flight attendant taking her time picking up garbage, and I heard this, flight attendants be seated. I looked out the window, saw what we were about to enter into, and I almost said something to her. I said, "You need to sit down now." That was what was kind of bubbling up inside me, was, "Get in your chair now." And sure enough, she kind of walked to the back, and I think she was still standing up when we started entering this stuff. I was like the next row to the back, up against the window, but it got pretty bumpy. I wouldn't say it was severe. It wasn't anything severe, turbulence or anything, but nobody was out of their seats. But it was very, potentially very, very bumpy. The weather that had just moved through would have been worse. There were tornado warnings and that kind of thing in the area. So it was, could have been much worse. My dog is chewing on one of the cat toys. He really likes the cat toys. He's probably going to destroy that cat toy, which is not really much of a cat toy. So I'm just going to let him do it. It's just worth it this morning to just let him do his thing. Of course, once he gets it chewed up, he'll start barking. But that's we've got this short little period of time here where we can talk. We can talk about things. And there are some things to talk about. Mainly what is in my cup. I have chai. Big Train chai with creamer in it. And the creamer is coconut cream creamer. Now in my cup, in my backup cup here, I have a cup of sweet tea. It's homemade sweet tea. It's getting a little, I don't know what's going on with it. It's not funky yet. It tastes fine, but the peach flavoring has not done real well. Of course, this was the leftover bag of peaches. I made a whole gallon with a peach thing, and then I turned it into a, I used those old, because we drank that in a day at our Christmas thing. So then I just used those peaches in the next one. Apparently, there's not really a strong peach flavor to it. It's just kind of got the regular tea flavor, I guess. Which is good. There's just a hint of peach there. Not enough to really... But it's good. It's refreshing. So that's all that really matters, I guess, with that. In the meantime, fraud. We have... I have to talk about this stuff. Everybody's talking about it right now. So many different angles to this thing and so many different ways it could go. But I want to – now, I've heard a few people suggest some things. Now, I want to tell you first right off, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor, and I'm not this whole show is just for entertainment purposes only. If I say anything about allegations about anyone doing anything wrong or allege anyone that – has done anything, if I make accusations, I have no proof of anything. I'm just, this is all speculation, based on speculation, my speculative mind, free-thinking hypothesis. I'm going to hypothesize. I'm not even sure that's a word. I'm going to explore some possibilities. Role play, if you will. Imagine, if you will. In a world, we have this. Everybody knows, or pretty much, I think everybody has heard. Anybody that's paying attention, let me put it this way: anyone that's paying attention has found out what's going on up in Minneapolis. Now, I've been up in Minneapolis since all this kind of started breaking. The place it seems kind of I was just around the Mall of America area. It seemed as if there was kind of a subdued atmosphere up there. Now, it was cold and wintry. It was kind of a wet snow on the ground. They had just received a bunch of snow the day before. The weather was kind of nasty. So people weren't just out and about walking around and doing things, which is kind of the typical thing of the summertime. But it was... There just seemed to be a literal cloud was hanging over the place, but there was also this a feeling of a cloud hanging over the city. Now, I just want to say a few things about all this whole thing. Now, this guy named what's his name? Shirley? Was it Pat Shirley? What's this guy's name? I can find it here. I bet if I just go, to any one of these. Is it Matt Shirley? Pat Shirley? What is the guy's name? Last name's Shirley. Anyway, he's just a YouTube guy. Not even from Minneapolis. He's just this guy that's out there, and he decided to go on a little trip and find some things out because this one guy from Minneapolis apparently was kind of doing some digging into the. Come on. Things are going kind of slow. Here we go. this guy, he's just very, very astute guy that was kind of looking into some of the budget issues, and he was kind of noticing that there were daycare centers all over the place. And the daycare centers had no children, ever. And it was just getting very, very strange that they were finding all this. And this guy also, there's another guy that's actually kind of less, a little less known YouTuber, but he's in the Minneapolis area. He also was doing a little report on some things. And talked about, is it Nick Shirley? Is that the guy's name? I still haven't found his name yet, but I'm just kind of still looking, perusing through my stuff here because I've been, he's all over the news and I can't find him anywhere. I think maybe it's Nick Shirley. So this other guy had been noticing, he'd been going to these restaurants and noticing that the restaurants were always right next to a grocery store, or in most cases, in many cases at least, the grocery store was attached to the restaurant. It's in the same building. Like literally you could just walk from the restaurant into the grocery store from inside. And there was always a daycare center and a health provider in the same area. Now, on some of these buildings that Nick Shirley was going into, there were like 18 to 20 some healthcare provider offices in one building, and nobody was in the building. The daycare centers mostly were locked up tighter than a drum, or if they had anybody in there, they wouldn't answer the door. If they did answer the door, they wanted you to go away. He was trying to find a place for his son, Joey. I don't think he has a son, Joey. He's just looking for a place to put his, he's looking for daycare for his son. He was going to, and these, all of them had, on their accounting, they had, apparently they're government subsidized. Now, we're going to get into this a little bit more because there's a whole lot of things, a whole lot of questions people are not asking. And I think there's a whole lot more to this that needs to go. My concern is that nothing's going to happen to this. This whole thing's going to go by the wayside. They're going to do these raids. They're going to do some kind of inspections, and it's just going to be maybe five or six people. They're going to get arrested for this whole thing, and that's all that's going to happen. Governor Walz, Tim Walz. Maybe I can find. I'm going to go to my history because Vince Deo was doing a little thing on this guy. He had a clip of. Where did it go here? Vince, here it is, Vince Dale. I'm gonna play some of this. It's he goes into this whole thing with Governor Walz, and of course Governor Walz was initially, when the scam came out, and this was all about feeding the hungry children or something that they had a scam on, and he had something that he was confronted about it in a I think it was a Meet the Press thing, or well, it wasn't Meet the Press. It was some kind of a Sunday morning show of some kind. Let me see if I can find any more of this. I would play some of the audio from this, from Nick Shirley. It is Nick Shirley. Okay, I have confirmed that it is Nick Shirley. And he answers the question. Well, what's your responsibility? Are you responsible for any of that? Well, I'm responsible for putting them in jail, is what he says. I'm responsible for putting them in jail. He wasn't the one putting them in jail. He's known about this for over a year. Probably for more than 2 years. In fact, now is this the one where he starts talking and just talks and blabs and doesn't say anything? I want to try to understand what it is he's saying here. And I have listened to this several times. Well, as many times as I could stand. I think maybe two times. That I listened to it. I can't stand to listen. He blabs on about this. Now, he's asked a question, and I'm not sure exactly what the question was he was asked. We'll get into that in a little bit. However, whenever he's asked a question, this is Mamdani does the same thing. He asks him a yes or no question, and he goes off into he has to take apart, you know, he has to tell you how the watch is built. He asks him what time it is, and he tells you what time, you know, how the watch is built. He never just answers with a yes or no. He goes into a big, long explanation it's a word salad of all kinds of things, and we have to do this, and we have to do that, and he's got this little smile on his face, and we have to do... And it all sounds like he's very intelligent. He's giving you a straight answer. He's not giving you a straight answer. He's not giving you an answer at all, in fact, which is one of the most frustrating things. And here goes my dog. And Tim Walz is basically essentially the same thing. It's just words on top of words going in 20 different directions all at once. Now, here's, he's asked this question. And he's supposedly talking about making it easier for people to get into child care, get into the child care business, as well as to make it better for children and better for health care, children, health care and housing and food. Just the whole thing, it seems like he's all wrapped up in this whole thing. Now we're talking fraud here. Now it's looking like it's more than $8 billion. We're talking billions of dollars, more than $8 billion, in fact. Wrap that around your head for a moment. They're talking almost $20 billion nationwide that these Somalis have done this. Now, I've got a lot of questions about some of this, and we'll get into this more as we kind of dig down a little deeper on this. They're important questions that nobody's asking. Let's go with it from here. We've got almost 20 billion. The GDP of Somalia is like 12.5 billion or something a year. The money that has been funneled out of this country, we don't know where all it's going. Assume most of it's going back to remittances and things in Somalia. They've more than doubled their GDP because of this, or their country intake. All right, I'm going to have to deal with my dog. He's not going to stop barking. So anyway, there's a lot of questions. It'd be interesting to have somebody do some exploring and follow the money on this whole thing, because it is ridiculous. Billions of dollars flowing out of the country in fraud, fraudulent claims. Now, there's about 800, they're estimating there's almost 1,000 daycare centers, healthcare, I think it was daycare centers, I don't know if it was healthcare per se. One of the particular sectors, there was about 1,000 of them, and they estimate that between 700 and 800 of them are probably fraudulent. Now, each one of them is getting anywhere from $1 million to $3 million a piece a year in federal aid. Who knows what they're getting in state aid? They may not be getting anything. But there's just a whole lot of questions here. Now, this is regulated by the state. The federal government doesn't. When they apply for these grants, they get these loans, whatever they get per child that they're taking care of. They get so much per child or whatever they get. Apparently, the daycare center business is rather lucrative. My understanding is they're paying ridiculous amounts of money. People pay ridiculous amounts of money for daycare. I had no idea they were getting subsidized by the federal government on top of that. Multi-million dollar business. Ridiculous. We've come a long way from being babysitter, from having the babysitter take care of, the neighborhood. Anyway, this whole thing is going on, a lot of it in the vicinity of Minneapolis, right in that area. And everybody keeps asking why are people going from Somalia, which is basically a close to the equator hot region of the world, to frozen tundra Minneapolis? Why did they choose to go there? They didn't choose to go there. They were put there by the immigrant process under the Obama administration. This is when all this started happening, under Obama. And the question, when they ask the questions, they give these weird answers. Here's an example. Like, this was during the debate, I think, back in the presidential debate, just a year ago, or a little over a year ago. And let's see what they have to say here. This is courtesy of Vince Deo's show. He put this particular clip on his show.
Minnesota passed a paid family medical leave. You have a child, you. And I had to go back to work 5 days after my kids were born. This allows you to stay home a certain amount of time. What we know is that gets the child off to a better start. The family works better. We stay in their employers. We get more consistency in that. So Kamala Harris has made it a priority. We implemented it in Minnesota, and we see growth. That's how you become a pro-business state. And so a paid family medical leave program, and I will tell you, go to the families or go to the businesses and ask them. As far as childcare on this, you have to take it at both the supply and the demand side. You can't expect the most important people in our lives to take either our children or our parents to get paid the least amount of money. And we have to make it easier for folks to be able to get into that business and then to make sure that folks are able to pay for that. We were able to do it in Minnesota, and I'm still telling you this. We were listed as the best state. We're still in crisis on this. A federal program of paid family and medical leave and help with this will enhance our workforce, enhance our families, and make it easier to have the children that you want.
What did he just say? The dog. Sorry about the dog. I dare you to go back and listen to that again. I listened to this and tried to take some notes of what he was talking about. Now, I assume there's a subject here apparently there's an underlying subject, something about paid leave or something like that, a federal program for paid leave or some kind of something, I don't know. There, no, other countries have it. It's not a bad thing. I think it should be worked out with. I think individual employers should provide this. It shouldn't be a federally mandated thing, in my opinion. It should be negotiated between employers or collective bargaining. But it's because it is much more efficient that way than it is to have a federally mandated program because of this fraud stuff. Because every time the federal government gets involved, you centralize this kind of thing. And then it becomes this big monstrosity of an organization. It costs more money. It ends up costing people more money, much like the ACA, Affordable Health Care Act, whatever it's called. And how'd that work out for us? Nobody saved $2,500 a year. Nobody saved $2,500. We were told that myriads of times, but by one Barack Hussein Obama. Told us we're all going to save money on our health insurance. No, nobody saved any money on our health insurance. They were all talking about, we got to fix the donut hole, the donut hole, the donut hole. Everything was about the donut hole. There's 30 million people are uninsured. Well, guess what? There's even more people uninsured now. And people can't afford insurance. They didn't fix the donut hole. They just moved it around. It's just ridiculous. And now they're claiming, now a bunch of people aren't going to be able to afford health insurance again because we've got to subsidize the health insurance and insurance companies. Oh, my gosh. And then they blame COVID for all the expenses. That is not what it is at all. Yeah, there was a lot of profit made by some companies during that time. Ridiculous amounts of profit.
I want to take those profits.
To quote Hillary Clinton. We have, here's an issue, folks. Here's the question nobody's at. First of all, why are all these people in Minnesota? It's not just the Somali population in Minnesota, by the way. They're also finding that there are other places like Columbus, Ohio. They're finding the same thing going on. There's another guy who was doing kind of an expose in that area saying every restaurant that he found had a grocery store attached to it, and there was always a daycare center within eyeshot, and it always had a healthcare, and there's nobody around. Now there's this big SNAP thing, this big SNAP fraud going on between the whole thing about the restaurant with the grocery store, is that they're paying people pennies on the dollar for their SNAP benefit cards. Just buying them with cash. And they're using those SNAP benefit cards to buy food. And they stock their restaurant. And it's a big scam. It's a big House of Cards scam thing that they've got going on. It's actually very intricate. Now, let me just ask you a few questions. I like to think that I can. I like to believe that I have some critical thinking skills. When it comes to certain things that I can occasionally exercise. And I would like to, hopefully I can help you sharpen and hone your critical thinking skills as well. First of all, here's a question for you. If you have an apartment and you want to rent out an apartment, typically, in order to rent out an apartment in any town, especially in any city, now outside the city limits, you can probably get away with this. Maybe you can rent out a house, you can rent out something. But typically, in order to become a rental property or a rental facility, you have to have an inspection. Somebody has to inspect it. There's usually a county inspection or a city inspection inspector of some kind that gives you a certificate that enables you to do that, to do the rental property thing. Now, they're giving these people $1 million or more. Does anybody come out and inspect? Isn't there any kind of federal inspection or city? Didn't anybody inspect this place to make sure there's enough fire extinguishers and escape routes in case of a fire, or and that it's the fire that it's sanitary, and there's the plumbing is properly done, and that there's, you know, proper bathrooms, that it's clean, it's handicapped accessible. When you start accepting funding, there's all kinds of things, all kinds of strings that usually come attached to that, and it usually has to do with inspections and complying with certain regulations and rules and all the other things that you have to do. Is there any record of any of this stuff in this place? And if there is, they certainly had to have known what was going on here. I just have some questions about that. The state of Minnesota, in the process of everything that they're doing there, there's also the issue of who taught them how to do this? Did they just come here and just decide, oh, look, we can start a daycare and we can do this and we can get this federal funding is available? Who told them all? Who got them involved in all this? They didn't just come here and figure this out on their own. I guarantee you. I live in this country, and I had no idea that this stuff was going on. That I could get this kind of money for a daycare center. I would just open one in my basement here if I could get $1 million a year for. And where are all these children that they say they have? They're taking care of. Most of them were in the 90 to 100 children. Facility, 70, 80, 90 kids that they're supposed to be having their facilities. Nobody's there. In the meantime, Tim Walz knew about this and kind of covered it up, kind of looked past it. In fact, he talked about how great it was, how great their state was for helping. One of the things he said was, that the state was helping people start daycare centers and healthcare facilities because it was benefiting the people. And again, I assume my doctor's office is complying with all kinds of sanitation rules and everything else that's going on. I'm assuming they've got that kind of thing in Minnesota. I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe you just send a letter to the state and say, hey, I'm opening a daycare over here. I've got 90 students, 90 kids. Send me some money. I want some government funding. Okay, here's your check. Thanks. No, I know better than that. There's a process. Now, and here's my last and final question about this whole thing. It's not going to be a very long show today because I do have to get on the road and get things rolling here, but my last and final question to you is this. Billions of dollars, tens of billions of dollars floating around, $8 billion that we're pretty sure of, just within these scandals alone, who knows what other kind of scandals they've had going on other than the... If that much money is floating around out there, do you think that maybe any of it possibly might have snuck its way back into the hands or the campaign funding or somebody's pocket in that's related to somebody in power there in the government of Minnesota that would cause them to maybe turn their blind eye to this stuff? Is that possible? I'm just putting it out there. I don't know. I don't have any proof. All I know is the nature of how people are. And it seems awfully suspicious of me, or suspicious to me, of me, that these people would be just, that they would know about it and not do anything about it. Now, of course, there's supposedly some kind of, they're getting ready to do some kind of FBI raids and all kinds of things like that. And where's the AG in Minnesota? They should be on top of this. I believe, this is my personal belief, it's just I have no proof. My theory is Ilhan Omar and Tim Walz and many other people high up in the government of Minnesota knew full well what was going on here. In fact, I think that they may have even been part of the assisting them with applying for grants and applying for the government programs, creating pathways for these people to do what they were doing. I think knowingly, understanding what was going on here, that they were funneling all this money back to Somalia, which is apparently Ilhan Omar thinks she's more of a Somali than she is an American. She won't say that publicly. She has said some things like that publicly, but not in English. You can find video of her saying some things in her native tongue where she's talking about being Somalian. And everybody else is just a white supremacist, right? A racist white supremacist if you say anything about them and what they're doing, it's all you're a white supremacist. You're racist. You're a Nazi. It's getting infuriating at this point to continue to hear this kind of thing. And at first, everybody was talking about, yeah, we need to deport Ilhan Omar. We need to deport a bunch of these people. And you know what? I'm in favor of even deporting some of these people who consider themselves to be citizens of this country. First of all, Ilhan Omar is now very clear now. They have the evidence, in my opinion. I haven't seen it. I don't know anything about it. I don't know what the laws are necessarily, but it looks as if, yes, she did marry her. I don't know if it was her brother or her stepbrother. You'd be very careful about those kinds of things. It may have been her brother from another mother. I don't know. Either way, kind of creepy. Married this guy on paper, apparently, in order to get him into the country. That is immigration fraud. That's not a misdemeanor. That's a felony. She should be impeached, at the very least, booted out. Why is the Democrat Party not saying anything about this? Why do they defend these people? There's some questions right now about some things that are happening with some associates of TPUSA, Turning Point USA. There's a guy who, I don't know if he's kind of got this very interesting attitude, but he's going after some people who are involved with TPUSA. One of them is, a sitting congressman, state congressman, maybe from maybe Arizona, I think. I can't remember the guy's name. And he's kind of going after these guys, and there's this little thing called, I think it's 110 LLC or whatever it is. I think it's like a, I don't know if it's a promotional company or whatever it is, but millions of dollars have gone to this guy. And TPUSA has spent some money with this company for, I guess it's a promotional company or something. This representative owns on the side. It's a side business that he owns. But he has a UPS mailbox. No other physical location for this business. And millions of dollars have been paid to this guy from certain places and certain campaigns. And TPUSA was one of the places. I think one of the, there's several different organizations surrounding TPUSA. And it's some they have, like, to think TPU, is it TP? They do all kinds of fundings for scholarships and all kinds of things. So they have some different LLCs or they had some entities within their organization. And so some of these organizations apparently have been doing business with this guy, this 110 or whatever. I think it's 110 LLC is what it's called. And there's some questionable, the guy brings up some good questions. This guy that's doing this little expose on this thing. He's got, you know, he wants some answers. And I think that there needs to be some answers. Now Erica Kirk is apparently saying, I don't have time for that. I'm going to, you know, she says she's going to continue building. She doesn't have time to get down in the weeds with this stuff. And she, you know, she trusts the people that are around her. I would not trust the people around her if I was her. Just saying there was a huge amount of inflow of cash after Charlie Kirk was killed. People donated to TPUSA and it really, of course, highlighted the organization. All of a sudden overnight, it was extremely, a major fundraising activity that was going on. A lot of money flowing. And unfortunately, there are always going to be nefarious people around that are going to skim off of that kind of thing. They're going to get involved in that whole process. There are some shady characters involved, in my opinion, around the TPUSA thing. I'm not saying TPUSA is shady. I'm saying that there are some associates, some people who are doing business with them, and some people who would consider themselves to be. And they're saying some. They're being asked questions. They're saying some things that are obvious lies. And that's what bothers me. Now, I'm not going to excuse these people just because they're Republicans. In fact, I'm going to say, more than anybody else, rout them out and boot them out of the party, expose them for who they are, and get them out. Corruption has no place in the Republican Party or the Democrat Party. But the Republican Party needs to stop patsying these people and get them out. Just get them out. It's like a bad tooth. Rip it out. It's like a Band-Aid. Rip it off. Get it out of here. It's going to be painful for a little while. Maybe those people were providing some kind of service or whatever they were doing. Or you think that they're indisposable. No, get rid of them. Get them out. Can't afford to have those kinds of people messing around. The Democrats can't either, but they don't. Their whole core purpose seems to have all kinds of corruption seems to be, and it all comes back to this. I've always said, maybe I haven't said this for a couple of shows here. I haven't been saying this recently, but it always comes back to this with the Democrats. And I'm sorry if you're a Democrat, but you need to wake up and smell the coffee, because the end justifies the means with Democrats. When you look at what they do and the way they responded to Charlie Kirk's assassination, the attempted assassination of the president, the way they talk about this president, is how off the rails they are. Ridiculous. TDS is a real thing, and there are some people who have stage 5 TDS, and it's just they can't think outside that box. They move out of the country, and they still can't stop. It's like this still affects them every day. I've got to move out of the country to get away from this guy. And yet they still keep talking about him. They don't understand what it means to leave the country. They just can't leave the country because Donald Trump is stuck in their head. He's living rent-free. And it's just, and their caricature of him, not who he really is. You can admit the guy's got problems, he's got issues, but there are some things he's... Okay, for example, here's a perfect example of this. No tax on tips, no tax on overtime. That's in the big bill that they passed. Now, there's some things I don't like about it. I don't call it the beautiful bill because there are some things in there that I don't really care for. There are some things that are actually absolutely... They are beautiful. There are some things in there that are beautiful. I think no tax on tips and no tax on overtime. You're hitting the middle class here. You're no federal tax on overtime or tips. That's a big deal, in my opinion, for the middle class, for the working man, for the average everyday guy that goes to work. People who are working hard in service industry, serving people. I'm all for it. Now, here's the problem. There are several states Illinois, California. They're not going to participate in this program. Normally, when you have a federal exempt status of any kind of taxation, the state goes along with it and says, okay, we're not going to charge state income tax for tips or overtime either. However, New York, Illinois, California, Massachusetts, they're going to continue to charge state sales tax because they have program. They can't afford to not charge. They have to charge it on there because they got to. We have to. We have to charge. We have to. Because, you know, we've got all these programs for you. And I said, blah, 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 blah. In other words, they're hurting for money. They can't give you a break. This is infuriating some people, by the way. Because they're realizing the Democrats are not for the working guy. We're going to tax the millionaires and billionaires. Oh, wait. I'm a millionaire. Let's just tax the billionaires then. Because now I'm a millionaire. So we're just going to tax the billionaires. Why is it that whenever I impersonate anybody from the East Coast, or Bernie Sanders in particular, there was a time when I went to high school, and I went, actually was in grade school. We're getting pulled out of class. Me and this speech therapist was pulling people out of class, and she was checking people for sure. She was making sure that nobody had a speech impediment because they were going to give you a special class if you had a speech impediment to help kind of the therapy you needed to kind of get past your speech impediment. And I was pulled out with like three or four other people, and they had to say a certain sentence or a couple sentences or whatever they had to say in the hallway there to kind of evaluate us as to whether or not we had a speech impediment. And I just said whatever what I said. I don't remember what I said. And they let me go back to class. So I don't know what. Apparently, I didn't have a speech impediment. There was one kid that I think that was in our class that did, apparently, because he went to a special class. But if I would have spoken like Bernie Sanders and read that sentence the way Bernie Sanders talks, they probably would have had me in a special class for a long time. So I'm just saying. Kind of the way that stuff works. When you park your car in the yard in Boston, I'm just picking on I know I've got people who listen from Boston and from. In fact, let's take a look at this. I haven't done this for a while. Let's just take a look at it. Because it's just fun to do sometimes, and I've already spoken about the. Let's face it. Why is this jumping all over the place? Just stay right there. Don't stop moving. My page is kind of lagging behind. So when I click on something, it lags behind. Oh, it's not even up there yet. All right, we have. Anyway, this is the kind of stuff that goes on. With the Democrats, they seem to think that they're there for the working class, and yet when there's something for the working class, they're not there for it. And then with the millionaires and billionaires, they want to tax certain millionaires and certain billionaires, not all of them, just certain ones, just a few of them, here and there. That's the way that works. Let's look here at let's go at geographic statistics here a little bit. Why Britain's right up there, 91 people, Japan 37. Australia 23. Brazil. Oops, Brazil. What am I saying? Brazil was 91. Great Britain is 18. India 10. I'm talking percentages here. This is based on this is a ranking numbers. What it is? But yeah, there's some. What is that one right there? Is that Ireland? No, it's Portugal. Portugal, of all places. Kenya. South Africa, of course, India, Pakistan, Iraq, jeez. Uzbekistan, that one kind of gets me. That's kind of an unusual one there. Australia, I figured that. Okay, yeah, we got that one. Russia, that does kind of surprise me a little bit. Finland and Sweden, of course. What's that one right there? That's the UK. Ireland, yeah, Ireland is in there. Okay, well, there you go. UK, what's that one there? I already said Portugal, Spain. Okay, there we go. Yeah, then we got South America, Ecuador, Colombia, Brazil, Paraguay, Uruguay, and Argentina. What's that down there? That's also Falkland Islands. What do you know? What is that? So there you have it. And of course, the top cities, again, Sterling, Virginia, which is in the area of D.C., Emerson, New Jersey, New York. That's not upstate, of course. South Bend, Indiana is up there. Las Vegas, Nevada is actually above South Bend, Indiana. Cambridge, Massachusetts, Evansville, Indiana, Tokyo, and Milwaukee, New Jersey, Delaware, Speedway, Indiana. That's interesting. Henderson, Kentucky, Farmdale, New Jersey, Springfield, London. These are right up there. Tokyo, yeah, Tokyo is still up there. Interesting numbers. These are just interesting numbers, in my opinion. But it's kind of interesting. Almeida, was it California? Almeida, California. Yeah, that's interesting. Anyway, okay, there you go. We have interesting statistics there. But I have a lot of questions about all this fraud stuff, and I don't know what's going to happen with all of it. I believe it's going to be the end of Tim Walz, in my opinion. I think he's not going to be able to pull through this. He's able to talk his way out of a lot of stuff, and because he's just like I said, he just says things that doesn't make any sense. It's just all over the place when he talks. It makes it sound like he's saying something and he isn't saying anything. But at the same time, I don't know. I don't know that our current DOJ is going to do anything. They have hearings. I have all these hearings. Gotta have all these hearings. No one's ever indicted. No one's ever. I want to see some people perp walked for the stuff that's going on. This kind of fraud. If you robbed somebody, if you stole $1,000 from somebody, you'd be in jail. These people are stealing billions. Nobody's going to jail. That really bothers me. I don't know if it bothers you or not, but it bothers me. Let me know what you think. Let me know what you think about what I think. Give me a call, 812-379-8778. You can call, leave a message, text the show anytime you want to. And let me know what you think. If you don't have a international calling plan, you can go to google.com/voice and type that number in there, 812-379-8778. Folks, have a great rest of your week, great rest of your day. I will see you later.